You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This is Sports Talk with Matt Peters. Welcome, everyone. You can also listen on WJRH.org and feel free to call in at 610-330-5316. So a lot of this episode is going to be centered around baseball because it is back. Opening day was last week. And guess what? It is an interesting season, to say the least, so far. The team with the best record is the Seattle Mariners at 7-1. Who would have saw that coming? Not me. That is for sure. Because when you look at that team, they were going through a rebuild. They traded away James Paxton, Gene Segura, Robinson Cano, don't you know? There's just a lot of turnover with that team. But guess what? They are winning ball games. And yes, it is only 8 games. But you know what? You got to start somewhere. While the Astros, the Red Sox, and the Yankees are faltering at the moment. Look, injuries are a part of sports. They pretty much just make it all go. But there is something going on with the Yankees because they have 7 big players on the DL. Dellin Betances, Aaron Hicks, Didi Gregorius, Giancarlo Stanton. You got Seve on the DL, CC. I mean, where does it stop, really? Miguel Andujar now has a torn labrum or something like that, something that's serious, very, very serious, and they might not have a third baseman for the season, which means DJ LeMahieu, the super utility signing, is now going to be the all-the-time third base. Tyler Wade will take up his role. I think Tyler Wade is trash. Trash. The dude is 150 pounds wet, skinny, not that athletic, has no power, not a great on-base percentage. The only silver lining to all this is now I can see Clint Frazier, who does have some promise. We'll see what he can do. But other than him, I don't even know what's going on with this team. Like, Aaron Judge is good. Luke Voit, I feel like, is going to crash soon. And Greg Bird is inconsistent. Yes, LeMahieu's a good hitter. That is a fact. You know who else is a good hitter? Gleyber Torres. Gary Sanchez seems to be rebounding a little bit from his less-than-stellar season last year. But, boy, this team has got off to one of the roughest starts you can imagine. The only thing that can happen that will be worse is if Aaron Judge gets hurt. Let's knock on wood on that one, because, boy, if that happens, you might as well just start watching the AAA team, because I don't even know what they're going to do. I mean, yes, you have Tanaka, Paxton, J-Hap, sure. A lot of young starters. Loaisiga got the start today, 4 o'clock against the Tigers. So that'll be interesting for sure. But, man, it's just rough. Meanwhile, the Red Sox have no pitching. That being said, they lost 1-0 yesterday to the Oakland Athletics, so that is a little ironic, but boy, their starters got destroyed before that, and thing is, their bullpen's just not existent. They need Craig Kimbrel back, bottom line, but they seem to be at their payroll capacity, and when you're fighting for a championship, usually that doesn't end well. I mean, let's look at the Yankees last year. They were cutting strings, trying to save money, and guess what happened? They didn't win the championship, because if they put in the money for a Manny Machado or someone else, went over the cap, guess what? They would have been better off in the playoffs. But they had to go and take the inexpensive route of, you know, McCutcheon and just less than stellar players. But that being said, let's talk about the local Philadelphia Phillies. What a team so far. Their lineup is just stacked. Absolutely stacked. You got Michael Franco in the eighth hole actually hitting, which is really the key to that infield, because that guy has all the promise in the world, but he didn't seem to be in it at the plate the past 2 seasons. His on-base is super low. He wasn't putting in the power. I don't think he was just preparing well enough, but guess what? Now it's do or die for his career. And what happens? The guy has 5 homers already and is really killing it. But let's talk about the elephant in the room. No, not CeCe Sabathia, but Bryce Harper. This man, I know it's only the first week of the season, but this man has been worth every penny so far. He is selling seats, selling jerseys, spark plug to the team, putting up just media galore and getting the Phillies on national stages, Sunday night baseball. He is bat flipping, playing with tenacity, announcing he's having babies. What is the guy not doing? I mean, I don't know what he's not doing. You could say, all right, he's being really cocky, show off, you know, a little bit of a tool. Sure. But if you're a Phillies fan, this man is running the league, okay? He's producing on the field, playing with a lot of heart, really driving this team to wins, and they are kicking some butt so far. Their pitching doesn't look bad. I still think that they should get Dallas Keuchel out of any team, sign him to a one-year $20 million deal. The season started already. Are you telling me he's not going to accept the one-year $20 million deal? It's absurd that he's still holding out. It's absurd that Craig Kimbrell's still holding out. But I like the Phillies. Yes, they can also use Craig Kimbrell, but I would much rather have a fifth starter and make Vince Velasquez a long man. Not to say Vince is not good. It's just they need some depth. And we all know there's a lot of injuries with starting pitchers, and it's about time that they made that move. Meanwhile, same division, the New York Mets are a legit team. That's right, I said it. And you know why? Because they are not being stupid old Mets. Brody Van Wagenen is smart. He brought up Pete Alonso, the slugger first baseman, best AAA hitter of the past year. He brought him up on opening day. Yeah, he doesn't care about service time, allotment, no. He just wants to win some ball games. And you know what Pete Alonso's doing? He's hitting dingers. He's mashing the ball. He's being a catalyst in the number two hole right in front of Robbie Cano, don't you know? That team is good. And guess what? The Braves and the Nationals look like chumps. It is a two-horse race between the Mets and the Phillies. It is 2007 all over again. And if you want to say I'm getting ahead of myself, we're only 6 days into the season. What are you saying? You're being a jabroni. No, I'm not. These teams are legit, okay? They got the pitching. They got the hitting. They got some bullpen work going on. The Mets with Familia. And then Edwin Diaz, that is a 1-2 punch. The Phillies got David Robertson, who has been like a decade of solidness. Hector Neris is up and down, but C'Anthony Dominguez is good. Like, Phillies are okay with their bullpen. They don't need some Craig Kimbrell in there. All I would say for both teams is get a fifth starter. Both should have signed Gio Gonzalez. Both should sign Dallas Keuchel. But no, they're going to just chill because they think they're good. They're on their high horse. It's going to be a two-horse race in that division. The Braves, their players are not getting much better. I think they really peaked last season. Nick Markakis at right field is, quite frankly, old. He's like a Brett Gardner who is also old, okay? I just see that being a very, very exciting two-horse race, and I would count the Braves and the Nationals out. Mark my words on that one. NL Central, the Brewer crew is looking for real because Christian Yelich has proven that his MVP season last year was not a fluke. The man is one of the top five players in the league right now, okay? He's putting up numbers already, and I just love watching that guy play. Him and Lorenzo Cain, can you think about another 1-2 like moves in an offseason that just changed the trajectory of a team? Because when they signed Cain last year and traded for Yelich, people were like, oh my God, they have seven outfielders. How are they going to do this? Guess what? Those two players are exponentially better than their outfielders. And that really shows what just a little bit of positive worth does, okay? So the Brewers are there. They're doing good. Can't count the Cubs out. They had a lot of injuries last year, but their pitching's all over the place, so we'll see what happens with them. Oh, yes, yes. And then the West. It's the Dodgers. it's the Dodgers division. Has been for years. Will be this year yet again. Because the Padres have no pitching. They're playing for next year. And I got to respect that team. They called up Fernando Tatis Jr. on opening day, even though that meant they necessarily wouldn't get an extra year of control on them. It's fine. It's fine. I love it. I love the move. Padres are headed in the right direction. It's just 2020. They have 2020 vision. Okay. The Dodgers, though, it's their year. Because Clayton Kershaw is not getting any younger. And guess what? Justin Turner's not getting any younger. And Cody Bellinger is back to that promise that he showed in his rookie year. Corey Seager's back. It's just a fun team. So that is the National League. In the American League, like I said, the Yankees and Red Sox have been struggling. The Red Sox have no bullpen. Yankees are filled with injuries. No clutch hitting in the first couple games. Hopefully that'll change. But meanwhile, we have the freaking Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Sorry, Tampa Bay Raves and not the Devil Rays anymore. But they're killing it. They're killing it. They're hitting. They're pitching. They're just winning ball games. And I think the only way they could be in first place for the rest of the season if the Yankees' whole injuries keep coming and then the Red Sox don't do anything about their bullpen. And guess what? I could see that. I could see a world where that happens. In a world where the Tampa Bay Rays get first place in the American League East. Yeah, that basically has to happen because the Orioles and Blue Jays are finished. Even though Blue Jays and especially the Orioles, they're competing. Even though Chris Davis still has a zero batting average. Which, I mean, the dude might as well just freaking go to AAA and take his money. Because, my goodness, Chris Davis on the Orioles is just... Ugh. That being said, Chris Davis with a K on the Oakland A's has been a beast hitting homers already. And the A's are getting some wins. They got off of that 0-2 start against the Mariners. The Mariners in Japan, but they're doing pretty good. And so let's take a look at the Mariners. King Felix Hernandez. Yes, I'm going to call him that because that's how I've known him for a decade of my life. And he'll always be that to me, even though he is washed up right now. He had a great start, his first go around. And Marco Gonzalez is the first pitcher 3-0. Yes, he's the only pitcher to have three games, but man's playing great. I'm rooting for the Mariners because Angels are not going anywhere, even with Mike Trout making $400 million. Athletics, don't trust in the playoffs. They're just a waste of time. And I hate the Astros because the Astros are just a bunch of tools. I don't need to see Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman and do their thing anymore. Gosh almighty. That team, Justin Verlander got paid. Yippee. Can we talk about all the extensions going on? Ronald Acuna Jr. just got like 10 years. 10-year deal. But it's such a cheap deal. Like, I don't understand these players. They don't bet on themselves. Okay, I get it. You want $100 million. Okay. This guy could have gotten $400 million. Like, I guess when you get to a certain point, $1 million is $1 million. You know what I mean? Like, I saw this rating thing that once you hit like $75,000 a year in your annual salary, happiness pretty much stagnates. As long as you're comfortable, like, that's all that matters. You don't need a Maserati Ducati. You don't need Yankees season tickets to be happy, even though, you know, that would make me joyful. All you need is enough to really live comfortably, not worry about food, you know, see a movie every now and again, take care of your loved ones. But I guess Acuna read that article because he accepted it. I mean, he doesn't have to worry about dough anymore. But you know, good for him, I guess. It's good to have security after, what, 1 year in the bigs? So, I mean, he's a 100 millionaire. I mean, after taxes, that'll be like 40 mil. But, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. I have like $40. So, I'm doing fine, too. And then, that's pretty much the AL West. I think the Mariners are definitely going to be crashing down to earth in a couple weeks. And then the Astros are going to run away with it. While the Central, I think the Twins are a true dark horse in that division. They have a pretty solid lineup, as well as Byron Buxton produces, because that man is a catalyst. He does everything as long as he actually does it, which he did not do last year, and that is why they were trash. Jose Berríos is an actual ace. He is not Jose Fernandez, rest in peace, but he is half of him, which is still better than almost every pitcher in the league, okay? And I just want to comment right now how much I miss Jose Fernandez, because that man was going to be an all-time great. And, you know, I mean, things happen. But, ugh. I remember hearing about that. I was in England in a thrift store looking at graphic tees. And then I get the update on my phone. Jose Fernandez, bro. Actually, it wasn't even an update on my phone because I didn't have Wi-Fi over there. It was a message from a friend being like, did you hear about this? And I was like, oh, no. And then it just, my goodness. I'm not a Marlins fan. You know, I'm a baseball fan. But that crushed everyone. So, just a day to look back on. Central is either Twins or Indians. That's pretty clear. And when you look at the league, everyone is signing the extensions. Just everyone. Terry Francona just got one to take him through 2022, which will make him manager of the Indians for 9 years, which will pass the amount he had in Boston. Then you look at the injuries. Trey Turner just has a fractured index finger. He'll be out a little bit for the Nationals. That's huge because the Nats, their offense is just pretty bad. And then Randall Grichuk of the Toronto Blue Jays just got an extension of 4 years, $52 million, which is a lot. I think that's way too overpriced for a dude who doesn't walk at all. Herman Marquez, one of the best pitchers for the Rockies, got a 5-year, $43 million extension, which pretty much takes him through his arbitration years. Daniel Murphy of the Rockies has an injured, fractured finger and is out a month. So as you see right here, it's just the news of baseball is back and forth of injuries to contract extensions. Francisco Lindor, the Indians, is still out until late April. That's going to be a huge get when they get him back. Like I said, Acuna, he got his $100 million deal for 8 years, which is a lot of money. So, I mean, baseball revenue is going up, and guess what? The average salary for a player is down. What does that say? That means the owners are pocketing more of the money. Where is the money going? You think it's going to the peanut vendors? You think it's going to the beer guy? No. Nope. It's going to the owners' pockets. Okay? And guess what? That's why you have teams like the Yankees have the highest revenue in all of Major League Baseball. What'd they do this past offseason? They spent money, sure, on relievers. While they should have gone after Bryce Harper. I was so angry when they didn't do that. Because Bryce Harper is a transcendental talent, okay? He is a marketing tool as well. And people need to realize that. He brings in the big bucks, not just because of his production, but also because of ticket sales, national publicity, his marketing. He is a face of baseball. Is he the best player in the league? No, he is not. But he's the face along with Aaron Judge because they are personalities, because they are examples for children. They are good people who are loud and proud. Guess who's not loud and proud? Mike Trout. Guess who's the best player in baseball? Mike Trout. He's not the face of baseball, okay? And guess what? It is a business. It's not necessarily about the best player. Or else, Mike Trout would have $1 billion. No, I'm kidding. He wouldn't have $1 billion. But the thing is, I think they undervalued Bryce Harper in free agency. He got his big 320. That's not that much, okay? For a dude who brings in a packed house every night. Look at the Phillies, all right? They're back to 2008 levels. They are filling the stands. The Citizens Bank Park is just crazy, crazy. They're selling season tickets, highest selling jersey in any sport. Like, I can't even fathom these other teams. Meanwhile, the Yankees got Giancarlo Stanton. Really? The dude who injured his bicep. Why don't you stop curling, Giancarlo? You don't need big biceps to hit dingers, okay? What are you, Barry Bonds? Get a hold of yourself. God. Meanwhile, Tim Tebow is in Syracuse, so anyone who wants to drive 2.5 hours to see one of the greatest college football players of all time play some baseball has the opportunity to do so. I'm sort of contemplating it. If someone wants to rent out a bus and we can go to Syracuse to see some Tim Tebow, let me know. Call in at 610-330-5316, because that man is a national treasure. And I wholeheartedly mean that. And I think it's fair to say that Andrew McCutchen is not washed up, which is great to see. All right, we're going to shift a little bit to NBAs because the season's winding down. And there's a big, big debate about the MVP. And there's quite frankly no debate, because people keep saying that James Harden or Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, it's a two-horse race between them for the MVP. Yes, that is true, except that it's not a two-horse race. It is more like a one-and-a-half, because James Harden is the full horse. He is the horse goat, okay? And Giannis is just a half a horse, no goat, okay? Because let's look at these numbers, okay? And also think of the teams. Chris Paul was hurt for half the season. Who is on the Rockets? Think about it. Who? I don't even know besides Chris Paul and James Harden. Meanwhile, the Bucks are in first place in the East. Like the quadruple A, they are the minor leagues because the West is insane. And you're going up against the freaking New York Knicks a couple times a year, which is just gimme games. Chicago Bulls, are you kidding? So, yes, they're in first place in the East. Big deal, all right? Still going to get swept by the freaking Warriors, all right? So Giannis's numbers. Points, 27.4. Beautiful. Total rebounds, 12.5. Impressive. 5.9 assists. Lovely. Okay, he does everything, all right? His win shares are 13.8. That's a lot of win shares. James Harden. He is averaging 36.4 points per game. 36.4. That means if he scores 20 points one night, he has to score 52 to average out on 36. That's absurd. 20 points should be good. That is a bad, bad night for James Harden. So, 36.4 a game. He has 6.5 rebounds. That's a lot. And 7.5 assists. Man does everything, too. And his win shares are 14.3. James Harden's MVP. Case closed. Dismissed. It starts and stops 36.4 points a game. And the fact that he's not just a scorer, but he has 6.5 rebounds and 7.6 assists. That means the man is responsible for more than half his team's points on any given night. You understand? The man is the team. He runs the show. Yes, they're going to lose in the playoffs. So is every other team without Stephen Curry. That's not the point. The point is James Harden's MVP. And I also want to just send out a good congratulations to one of the best players in the league. He's getting a lot of slack this year because he's not that clutch anymore. But guess what? Russell Westbrook put up a 20-20-20 game yesterday, which is the first time since Wilt Chamberlain, which is absolutely bonkers because I can't even fathom watching a 20-20-20 game. That means he was flying everywhere. Getting rebounds, putting up assists, putting up points. Like, man, what a player. Very undervalued. He's getting just a lot of slack. People call him inefficient. Yes, he can't shoot. He can't shoot, okay? But he can do a lot of other things. So when we look at the Eastern Conference, the Bucks are in first place, but they are actually going to clinch that. And then the Raptors are in second. 76ers are in third. Those are pretty much locked in at this point. Then the Celtics and Pacers are in the fourth and fifth. They're going to face each other. That'll be a fun matchup. Celtics should win that. Sixth seed, Pistons and Nets and Heat are all very close, as well as the Orlando Magic in the ninth seed. So guess what? The Pistons, Nets, Heat, and Magic are all fighting for three spots. The Magic are one game behind, so any of those teams can get eliminated. And so that'll be quite fun. I'm hoping that the Magic do get eliminated and the Heat get that 8th seed so they can get destroyed by the Bucks. I'm hoping the Pistons get the 7th seed so they can get destroyed by the Raptors. And the Nets get the sixth seed and can go up against the 76ers, who are vulnerable because they have absolutely no bench whatsoever. So we can see about that. That'll be fun. Meanwhile, in the Western Conference, the Warriors, two games ahead of the Nuggets for first. The Rockets are in third. Trailblazers, Damian Lillard is a superstar. The Portland Trailblazers need to give him all the money in the world to stay. He's not a John Wall. He actually cares. Then you have the Utah Jazz in fifth. The friggin' LA Clippers in seventh. In sixth, sorry. And then the Spurs in seventh. Thunder in eighth. So that is quite the good division. And yeah, I mean, we all know what's going to happen. So there's that. Baseball news, Ron Darling called out Lenny Dykstra for being a racist, and he is not putting it at all. There's a lot of going back and forth for that. All right. And we are back. I apologize for that. I had to go to the bathroom real quick. And so, I think we should transition into the March Madness, which has occurred. It was certainly some madness. That is to be fair. These games have been some of the craziest I've seen in a long time. I know every year is like this, but my goodness, this Final Four is maybe the most random one I've ever heard. You got University of Virginia versus Auburn at 6 o'clock this Saturday, and then Texas Tech versus Michigan State following that. I have no idea what the heck's going to happen. I'm going to be honest, okay? I'm not going to be one of these talking heads making predictions because this entire tournament has been up in the air. I think the only people who actually know what the heck's happening are people who pick Virginia or Michigan State, because everyone else and their mother picked Duke and North Carolina, and I know that for a fact. No one picked Auburn, not even Charles Barkley. Mr. Auburn picked them, and Texas Tech came out of nowhere in the three seed. So, really, what is coming on to is a head-to-head of Virginia and Michigan State. In that case, I will take Michigan State because Izzo is a basketball genius. And he's going to have a heart attack if they win, because that man has gotten very, very angry. I see blood veins popping out of his head any second. So, that is Saturday. And then Monday will be the championship game, which will be quite entertaining. A lot of us are going to be turning into that. But I was actually in Las Vegas for the big tournament area where the sports books were absolutely bonkers. It was like being in the stadium of a live event. People were cheering, booing. It was a great, great atmosphere. I only bet $10 on sports the entire time on Minnesota upsetting Michigan State. That was an absolute blowout. Very bad $10 spent. I am not sports betting ever again, especially on college basketball, because my goodness, that is quite the crapshoot. I think the game of the tournament has obviously been Duke and University of Central Florida. I have no idea how Duke won that game. It just seems absurd to me. And so they were walking on glass for a good three rounds of the tournament, and eventually it caught up with them. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that. This weekend also, I know it's not, you know, an official sport or anything, but I would love to comment on WrestleMania happening on Sunday night at MetLife Stadium. Yes, I am going to WrestleMania. I think it's going to be fun. There is a lot of good matches. Well, we will see what happens. But I just want to give some predictions about what I think will happen at WrestleMania. So the match card is pretty stacked. So the event usually does start around 4 o'clock, which is absurdly long. Going to be honest, I'm probably going to leave before the main event. Right before the main event starts. Because guess what? I have class the next day. And East Rutherford is not right next door to Easton, PA. So, we'll go through the card real quickly. The Women's Battle Royal. Asuka has to win this. Last week she lost to Charlotte Flair, which set up the Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, making it the undisputed championship match, which will be the headliner. So Asuka needs to win this because she just got destroyed by Charlotte 2 weeks ago and actually tapped out, which is the worst thing any wrestler could ever do. Because guess what? In a scripted segment, when you make a dude tap, it just looks awful, okay? I've seen John Cena get in a submission hold for a freaking 5 minutes and he never tapped. It made no sense. His neck would have been snapped by then. But they wanted to protect him, and he's the guy, so she needs to win that. Andre the Giant, Battle Royal, two things are going to happen. One, Colin Jost and Michael Che, the hosts of Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, are in this match for some ridiculous reason. Really pisses me off, but they're in the match, and they've been taunting Braun Strowman, of all people, a 7-foot monster. People not familiar with wrestling, this dude could be the monster among men. But instead, all the politics backstage make this dude a jobber. So one of two things, he destroys the celebrities are going to happen, or the celebrities destroy him, which I can honestly see happening because this guy has gotten just not the fair end of the stick on any occasion lately. So then we move to Bayley and Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax and Tamina versus the Iconics versus Beth Phoenix and Natalya for the Women's Tag Team Championship. My favorite team is Nia Jax and Tamina, the two very monstrous women, but Beth Phoenix and Natalya are the veteran crew who's been around for a decade plus. That being said, they're going to give it to the new faces, Bayley and Sasha Banks, who have not produced up to their potential thus far, and this will be a win that puts them onto a trajectory that allows them to perform at a high rate. They were supposed to be part of like the women's four horsemen type thing, and it really hasn't worked out. Sasha Banks has been a disappointment since she lost to Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania, and Bayley is not as good as she was on NXT. That is just a fact. Buddy Murphy versus Tony Ness for Cruiserweight Championship. I have no idea about the Cruiserweights. I don't watch the Cruiserweights. Tony Ness is probably going to win this, though, from what I'm reading. AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. This has the potential to steal the show because you got AJ Styles, maybe the best wrestler in the world, versus Randy Orton, seasoned vet, been around forever, Hall of Famer. What a character, my goodness. And they're opposites. I'm picking AJ Styles, but I can also see Randy Orton winning this. It's just a great feud. They built it up wonderfully, so that'll be exciting. Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin. This will most likely be Kurt Angle's retirement match. And most of the time in a retirement match, they make the guy lose because, you know, he's pushed out and they also want to build up a new star. But Baron Corbin is not getting received well whatsoever. And so I think they're just going to have Kurt Angle beat him, have him wave to the fans, take a bow, go on his merry way, which will be fun to see. Then you have Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. Roman Reigns returned from a cancer scare, and it was a triumphant return. I am 100% just joyful to see him back. He's a guy that the WWE Universe did not appreciate when he was here because the guy does work really hard, and he puts on good matches, right? It's not his fault that he was getting booed all the time before, okay? It's not Roman Reigns' fault. It's WWE's writing that just shoves him down everyone's throat. That being said, now he's being more appreciative. That being said, he's up against a monster Drew McIntyre who logically should win this and make him the top heel in the business. Because when you think of heels on Raw, Brock Lesnar showing up every 2 months is pretty much all you got. So if you can make Drew McIntyre beat Roman Reigns, he has enemies everywhere. That being said, I think they're going to give it to Roman Reigns because he never loses. And I'm never bet against Roman Reigns winning. Then you have The Miz versus Shane McMahon, which is a false count anywhere match, which will be very fun. That's definitely going backstage. The Miz is going to win this. Shane McMahon has been on a losing streak, so the only reasonable way why he would win is give more credibility. But The Miz has to win. The Miz is the guy. And then my personal match that I'm looking forward to the most is Triple H and Batista. These are two guys I grew up watching. Batista, of course, has started a Hollywood career that has been quite successful with Guardians of the Galaxy and a bunch of other shows. So he's coming back for this. Triple H says that he'll retire if he loses. Usually that means they won't lose. So I have Triple H in this, even though I would love to see Batista powerbomb him and win. Bobby Lashley and Finn Balor for Intercontinental Championship. Finn Balor's going to win this. Poor Bobby Lashley. Finn Balor, the monster, the demon's coming up, so he never loses. And then Samoa Joe and Rey Mysterio for United States Championship. If Finn Balor wins, which is going to happen, that means Samoa Joe will win. Just balance out the heel and hero win. But I can see Rey Mysterio taking this one as well because he has not had a big win in a long time. Then you have Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship. Seth Rollins will be put over, finally defeat Brock Lesnar, and it'll be triumphant because Brock Lesnar should not be championship anymore. He should not. Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston for the WWE Championship. This one has been built beautifully. It is wonderfully romantic how wrestling works, and that Kofi Kingston is now getting booked how Daniel Bryan used to be booked as the underdog who deserves his shot, who has put in his dues, finally needs to be champion type thing. But the crowd's getting by. Just loves the dude. So that will be a good one. I'm going to go with Kofi Kingston, even though I could certainly see Daniel Bryan win this. And then lastly, you have Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch for both the Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships. Boy, I can see Ronda Rousey win. I can't really see Charlotte Flair win, but Becky Lynch has also been booked as the man. Like, that's literally her nickname, the man. And she has been on a tear of late, getting arrested, getting thrown out, getting kicked out of matches, getting her nose broken. Like, Becky Lynch deserves to be on top at the end of WrestleMania. And that is usually how they like to end the show, on a triumphant note. So my booking is probably that Daniel Bryan will beat Kofi Kingston right before, leave the crowd stunned and disappointed and booing, and then Becky Lynch will win against Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair. And then that'll make everyone happy, leave happy, and then set up Raw the next Monday, where most likely Becky Lynch will lose the championship to Ronda Rousey yet again, but she'll still have the SmackDown championship. So there's just a lot of ways to book the show. Just a lot of ways. And then, of course, they're going to have appearances. I heard Post Malone might be performing. which will be quite exciting. And so it's quite the long show. I mean, if it starts at 4 o'clock, it goes until 11. Like that's 6-7 hours of wrestling, which is absurd. Boy, I don't know if I can handle that. I might have to walk around a little bit. I'm also in the nosebleeds, and it's going to be cold, so we'll see how that goes. Looking forward, the matchup of the week in baseball is probably the Cubs-Brewers this weekend. Two really good teams fighting for that first place shot in their division. Today, the Yankees face the Tigers at 4 o'clock. The Phillies face the Nationals at 1 o'clock. So that is something to look forward to. We have Aaron Nola, the ace of the Philadelphia Phillies, going up against Anibal Sanchez, who has yet to get a start for the Nationals. That will be quite the game. And like I mentioned earlier, Jonathan Loaisiga for the Yankees is getting his first start. He just got called up today against Matthew Boyd. The Yankees really need that. I mean, you don't need any games at this point, but, I mean, it's the Tigers. Like, they're tanking. So you really should take that. New York Mets are facing the Marlins at 6 o'clock tonight. You got the DeGrominator on the mound, Jacob DeGrom against Trevor Richards. So, yeah, I'd put my money on the Mets on that one. And so, yeah, the ESPN game, Wednesday Night Baseball, is the Chicago Cubs, Atlanta Braves. And that is a fine, fine game, not one that is must-see or anything. But still a good basketball game, nonetheless. And then, looking forward to basketball, Brooklyn Nets are facing the Toronto Raptors tonight at 7:30. That is a good game because the Nets really need that one. And the Detroit Pistons are facing the Indiana Pacers. They also really need that one. And the Boston Celtics are facing the Miami Heat at 7:30. Yet again, those three teams, as well as the Orlando Magic, who are facing the Knicks. So you can almost, you can never guarantee a win, but let's face it. The Knicks are 15-62. My goodness. They are getting the first place odds for the lottery. They're facing the Magic. Magic have a great shot of winning that. Brooklyn Nets are facing the Raptors. Very tough. Very, very, very tough. But, I mean, that's a win they need. Pistons are facing the Pacers. That's a toss-up type game. And then the Heat are facing the Celtics, who are certainly beatable. The Nets just beat them a couple days ago. So that's going to be an interesting game as well. And so, yes, that pretty much wraps up this show. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Matt Peters, and you are listening to WGRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Eastern Pennsylvania. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy your sports week.
You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania.
Or a player that made you pay the cost, that now assumes relaxed positions and prostitutes your loss? Were you tortured by your own thirst in those pleasures that you seek, that made you Tom the curious that makes you James the Weak. And you claim you got something going, something you call unique. But I've seen your self-pity showing as the tears roll down your cheeks. Soon you know I'll leave ya, and I'll never look behind, 'cause I was born for the purpose that crucifies your mind. So convince your mirror, as you've always done before, giving substance to shadows, giving substance evermore. And you assume you got something to offer, secret shiny in you. But how much of you is repetition that you didn't whisper to him too?